How to Steal a Dog, Chapter 3.
Okay, I said to Toby. You go that way, and I'll go this way. He squinted in the direction I had pointed. I don't see no dogs down there, he said. I sighed. Maybe I should have asked Luann to help me. I wanted to, but I just had this feeling she would mess things up worse than Toby was liable to. Not on purpose, but she just would. Mainly because of her mama, who finds out everything we do, even if Luann doesn't tell. And Mrs. Godfrey doesn't like me one little bit. She pinches her face up real hateful-like when I go over there. One time, I saw her wiping off Luann's bedroom door with a sponge right where I had touched it, like I had left my cooties there to infect her family. And when I used to invite Luann over to my apartment, her mama would always find a reason to say no. She could pluck a reason out of the air like a magician plucks a rabbit out of his hat. A dentist appointment. A visiting relative. A sudden need to shop for new shoes. So I knew asking Luann to help me steal a dog would probably be a bad idea. But Toby, I could see he was going to be more trouble than help. But what choice did I have? Listen, Toby, I said real slow and calm. You've got to walk down there and look. Look in the yards, look on the porches, look in the backyards even. Just look, okay? He nodded. Okay. He started off down the street, then stopped. What do I do if I see one? Come and get me. Okay. And remember the rules for the dogs, I said. You know, not about not barking and all that, okay? Okay. We went in opposite directions. The first dog I saw came trotting right up the street toward me. He was brown with tufts of fur that stuck together in clumps. Every few feet, he stopped to sniff the ground. Hey, boy, I called to him. He looked up and wagged his scrawny tail. His face had bald spots on it. One eye was closed up into a slit with gnats swarming all around it. Nope. That dog wouldn't do. Nobody cared about him, that was for sure. I gave him a little pat on the head because I felt sorry for him, then continued on down the street. When I came to a house with a trailer beside it, a dog started barking, a shrill yipping bark. When I got closer, I saw a dog tied to a clothesline on the side of the house, a short-legged dog with a smushed-in nose and a curly-cue tail. When he saw me, he raced back and forth along the clothesline, his yippy bark getting shriller and shriller. From inside the trailer, a man's voice hollered, "Shut up, Sparky." Nope, that dog wouldn't do either. Too noisy. A few houses farther on, a great big dog with bushy black fur sat by the side of the road and watched me. When I tried to pet him, he slinked away with his tail between his legs. Then some woman came out with a rolled-up newspaper. She smacked him on the rear, hauled him off by the collar, and pushed him up under the porch. "Get under there like I told you," she said. Then she stomped back up the stairs and went inside. She didn't seem like someone who would pay money for her dog. Finally, at the end of the street, I saw a dog who had "Steal Me" written all over him. He was clean and fluffy with a red bandana tied around his neck. He didn't bark when I got closer. He even let me pet him, wagging his tail like he was the happiest dog on earth. I was about to think I'd found the perfect dog to steal, but then I took one look at his house and I changed my mind. The front steps were rotted right off the porch, lying in heaps of lumber in the red dirt yard. Bricks and boards were stacked to make steps into the tiny house with its peeling paint and torn screens. A plastic window box had come loose on one side, spilling dirt and dried up brown flowers into the bushes. A rusty old car sat on cinder blocks in the gravel driveway. Nope, that dog wouldn't do either. The people in that house weren't rich. I bet they'd never pay $500 for their dog, no matter how much they loved it. Looks like it was going to be harder than I thought to find a dog that fit all the rules in my notebook. I crossed over to the corner and waited for Toby. When I saw him skipping up the road toward me, I called out, "Any luck?" "I only saw one," and he growled at me. "Only one? Are you sure?" "I saw some cats." "No, cats won't do." "How come?" "They just won't," I said. "Let's try one more street. Then we gotta get back to the car before Mama gets off work." I hurried over to the next block. Toby kept stopping to pick stuff up along the side of the road. Rocks and acorns and wrappers and things. I had to go back and yank him a couple of times. When we got to the corner, I looked at the street sign. Whitmore Road. "This one looks good," I said. "Let's go up one side and down the other. You stay with me." We walked around along the street, peering over fences and sneaking into backyards. No luck. Suddenly, Toby pointed. "Look at that house," he said. Just ahead of us was a huge brick house set back off the street a ways. All the other houses on that street were small, one-story wooden houses with tiny yards and no porches. But that brick house was two stories high. I bet it had a whole bunch of rooms inside. "Come on," I said to Toby. "Let's go check it out." We ran to the house. It towered over the little houses next to it. The front yard was the biggest one on the whole street, with a chain-link fence all the way around it. Along the fence was a thick hedge taller than me. I peered over the gate. That house looked like a mansion. It had a front porch with rocking chairs and a swing painted the same color green as the shutters on the windows. In the yard, there were flowers everywhere, popping up between the bushes, curling around the lamppost, blooming in pots on the front steps. And then I couldn't hardly believe my eyes. There in the bushes along the porch was a dog, a little black and white dog, digging so hard that dirt was flying out behind him. His rear end was stuck up in the air, and his scraggly tail was wagging away while his front legs worked faster and faster at the dirt. Then a voice came through the screen door. Willie! A big, fat woman came out into the porch. I ducked behind the hedge and pulled Toby down beside me, put my finger to my lips and said, "Shh." I waited to hear her holler mean things at that dog for digging up the yard. Then I bet she was going to come storming off the porch and smack him. But she didn't holler. She laughed. Then she said, "What am I going to do with you, you naughty little thing?" I crawled on my hands and knees and peeked through the gate. The woman was sitting on the porch steps holding the little dog in her lap and letting him lick her all over her face. When she scratched him up and down on his back, he stuck his face in the air, closed his eyes, and kicked one leg, leaving streaks of mud all over her shorts. She took his head in both her hands and rubbed her nose back and forth against his nose, like the Eskimo kisses my daddy used to give me a long time ago when he loved me. Then she picked up the dog and went inside. My insides were getting all swirled around with excitement. While I went over the dog-stealing rules in my head, I mentally checked them off one by one. That little dog didn't look like he'd bite a flea. He didn't bark one bit, and it was for sure that dog was loved. I glanced at the house again. That was one big house. That lady must be rich. Then, as if I needed one more thing to convince me, something caught my attention. The mailbox next to the gate was kind of rusty and leaning over a tad, but it had big black letters painted on the side of it that said, "The Whitmores." Whitmores? That lady was named Whitmore, and this was Whitmore Road? "Toby," I said, "that lady owns this whole street. Can you believe that?" His eyes grew big and he shook his head. I grinned and gave him a thumbs up. "Toby," I said, "I think we just found us a dog."